Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining today. Sorry for the delay. Once again, we're having technical issues. Today we are going to complete this little thesis about the need for us to lay claim to our redemption. Like God is indebted to us. Like He owes it to us or something. It sounds crazy, but if you go back and watch the last two episodes, you'll see it isn't nearly as crazy as it sounds. In fact, it's entirely reasonable. And the Rebbe, on this Shabbos Parshas Miketz, Tovshin Mem Zayin, which is probably December of 1986, or January of 87, the Rebbe advanced this thesis that just as when you might be owed a loan, you have indebtedness, you have to lay claim, and only then can you expect to collect, that we have this claim. God has indebtedness, per se, by God's own words and terms, of course. And as such, what's perhaps left for us to do is to lay claim. And we lay claim with our assertive pleading and begging and cajoling and praying and asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to finally send us the Geula. And there was a lot of different strands and threads from a whole range of traditional and classic Torah sources that were woven together to produce this rather exquisite and creative novel fabric, a thesis that says you and I need to raise our voices and you and I need to proverbially pound on the table and make these demands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and He will listen. And Mashiach is going to finally come. Okay, so but people say that's, you know, it's very nice. It's a beautiful thesis, but it's not our minhag. It's not our custom. We didn't see our parents do this. We didn't see our grandparents do this. We didn't see, yes, the Rebbe, you know, introduces this, he beautifully sews it and weaves it together, and he even justifies why it's now, why this is the calling, the time for our generation. That's very nice. But is there still a room for detraction and saying, well, you know, that's Lubavitcher Rebbe's opinion. That's very nice. The Rebbe believes that, but that no, it's perhaps that's not actually in keeping with Torah tradition. And certainly on the surface, it does seem to be like it's on a certain terra incognita, like a land and a landscape we don't recognize, in an unfamiliar place almost. You know, the Rebbe really took this to the next level. So the Rebbe now further defends his thesis, and this is the proof. This is the proof of the claim. The proof of the claim is that we can see in authentic Torah tradition that there is a value to making those requests, because who says making a request means anything? You know, when God wants to send Mashiach, He'll send Mashiach. Okay, we disprove all that because it actually contradicts the very thrust and essence of our prayers, of our davening. But okay, so ein lach bo elo chidusho, as we say in the language of the Talmud, then, and it only bears with it its novelty and no greater novelty. So we should focus only on the words of the prayers, and that's all. Who says that there is actually value to giving ear to these requests? And even if there's value, who says that it's required or necessary or something that we should be encouraged to do? Now, to be sure, those are fair questions. They're fair questions. We're having an honest, intellectual conversation. We're studying Torah. And we have to be able to ask those questions. Listen, I'm a chassid. Whatever the Rebbe says, it's not even a question for me. But we're learning Torah, and we have the right to ask those questions. And the Rebbe himself asked these questions. And so he cited a number of sources in which it is clearly stated, these are about as classic a source as you can get, that the request is something which is both of value and necessity. So at the end of the book of Shmuel, now the book of Shmuel talks mostly about the life and time of David HaMelech. I mean, to be sure, David HaMelech's life is talked about later on as well. Really, his passing in succession is talked about later on in the book of Kings. And the book of Shmuel is not where you'll find much about Saul, Shaul, but you will find a lot about David HaMelech. David HaMelech's life is really in the book of Shmuel. So at the end of the book of Shmuel, we hear about God being angry at the Jewish people. And God, not only is God angry at the Jewish people, but in fact, he smites the Jewish people. And David HaMelech's heart is smitten, and he feels terrible, and he feels somehow to blame. And there's a plague, and there's a discussion of what this means. Is it a failure, a military campaign failure, or is it an actual plague, an illness? This is not the place for it, and I'm pretty sure we covered this in another lecture. But here is what's important. What's important is that there is a Medrash Tilim. The Medrash Tilim is found in Mizmor Yud Zayin. And this Medrash Tilim is cited by Rabbeinu David Kimchi by Radak, with slight variations, in his commentary at the end of Shmuel Beis, the second book of Shmuel, the prophet Samuel, at the end of chapter 24. And the Medrash says like this. The Medrash says that Kol Eisen Alofim Shenoflu, all of those thousands, one account is 20,000, thousands, who fell in the days of David, and there's a version that says B'milchemet, B'milchama, in war. So whether it was at war or it happened through pestilence or illness or disease, what's important for us to understand is that what happens to the Jewish people in general is by the hand of Hashem in a very specific way. And there's no happenstance in general at all, but especially when it comes to Yisrael Am Kroivei, and especially in biblical times. So whether they fell in battle, or whether they fell in a disease or a plague, this is the hand of Hashem. So why did this happen? So the Medrash says, "Le'naflu ella al shalitovu binyan Beit HaMikdash." They died because these were people who were quite satisfied without a Beit HaMikdash. They had Israel, they had a monarchy, David HaMelech, they had Torah, they had Yiddishkeit, they didn't have a Beit HaMikdash, and they were okay with that. And that wasn't okay. And the Medrash says, "Halo dvarim kal v'chomer." This is to be understood in a manner of a fortiori argument, meaning the kind of a light, heavy thing. If you can lift 100 pounds over your head, surely you can lift 50. So you kind of multiply this. Umayim elu, what of those? Shalehoya beis hamikdash b'nei. They never had a beis hamikdash amongst them. But they didn't demand a beis hamikdash. Not that they lost a beis hamikdash. It wasn't that was a beis hamikdash destroyed. They never had a beis hamikdash in Yerushalayim. Lenechrav b'yimei, it wasn't destroyed in their days. And they had, you know, these devastating realities. V'nenshu, ashali tovu, they were punished because they didn't demand. Anu shecharev b'yameinu. The Medrash says, us. The beis hamikdash was destroyed in our day. And we're not mourning the Beis HaMikdash, we can't be bothered. And we're not going to be asking mercy from Hashem. So the Medrash is very, very clear about this. They were punished. They're failing. They didn't ask for the Beis HaMikdash. And more is expected of us. More, not less. And the Medrash finishes off by telling us, the Medrash Tilim Yud Zayin says that this is why that the Chassidim Harishonim, as they are called, the earliest pious people, this is the people who formulated the Siddur, Hayu Mispalim Shalosh Tfilos B'chol Yom, that they would pray thrice daily, and they would insert in their prayers, Hashev Shechinoscha L'tzien, return or restore your Shechina, your presence to Tzion, the Seder Avodah LeYerushalayim. So that's a Medrash. That's a Medrash. And the Medrash is actually cited by Rabbeinu David Kimchi, as I said, in with slight variations. This is the final commentary of Radak on the book of Shmuel Beis. And he says that Kol Alofim Elu Shenaflu B'mei David, all these thousands have died, Le'naflu ella ayidei shelitavlu tavu Beit HaMikdash, because they didn't ask for the Beit HaMikdash. And he says the same thing, because the Kal V'chomer, the 40-year argument, they didn't have a Beit HaMikdash. V'lecharev b'yameim wasn't destroyed in their days. And naflu al shelitavu ayisai, they fell because they didn't demand a Beit HaMikdash. Anu shahoya b'yameinu, we had a Beit HaMikdash. Alachat kama v'kama, how much more so. And therefore, and Radak doesn't say Chassidim Rishayim, but he says Zikenim Unavim, the elders and the prophets, which is more in keeping of the text we have from the Mishnah. Lita befihem shal Yisrael, unusual verbiage, to implant in the mouths of the nation of Israel. Lihiyot mitpalim shalosh pamim b'chol yom. Not that that's why the early pious people used to pray. No, it was implanted into our mouths that we must pray, that it becomes mandatory, it becomes an obligation. Hoshev shchinascha l'tzion. Return your tzion and bring your shchina u'malchuscha l'tzion. And the Seder Aveda Yerushalayim, and he finishes off with the words, Amen, kein yehi ratzon sela. And this is in keeping with the way the Rambam finishes off his mention of Mashiach, as we talked about in the Red Bull series several episodes ago. So you're going to say, okay, that's a agadah, it's a medrash, it's not binding, it's not halacha, but don't be so sure. Because the Chida, in his Sefer Midbar Kedemes, and this is, he was a poisek, the Chida was not, it's not simply shared as commentary. The Chida explains the words of the blessing that we recite daily, and we ask Hashem every day. We say, "Kili shuascha kivinu kolayim." Es tzemach David avdecha meher satzmiach. Your the sion of your servant David, may he sprout forth speedily. And we say, "Kili shuascha kivinu kolayim." Because your salvation we have awaited all day. Says the Chida, and this is a Midbar Kedemes Mareches Kuf, Sifkoten Tezayin, the chapter is 16, subsection 16. He says, drawing on a different Medrash Tilim, and a Yalkut Shimoni, Afilu Ein Biyad Yisrael, Ela Kivui, even if we possess no other merit, sense the merit of anticipation. The merit that we await the coming of Mashiach, kedai heim legula, and that in and of itself makes us worthy of redemption. I want to repeat that a second time. Afilu ein biyad Yisrael elo hakivu, even if we have nothing in hand, we don't come with copious mitzvot or a lot of Torah knowledge, we have nothing in hand, we don't have by which to make the demand, by which to lay claim, but we do have a hope and a yearning. Kedai heim legula. Then we are worthy of gula for that in of itself. B'schar akivoy, in the reward for anticipation alone. And the Chida says, citing his ancestor, Rabbeinu Yosef David, in his Sefer, Tzemach David, and he says, this is the meaning of the matbeya, of the verbiage that was coined, the blessing, the syntax of the blessing, Tzemach David, which is printed in the Seder, Semach David Mehera Tatzmiach, Vekarno Torim Bishur Asecha, may you raise him up in your salvation. Ki Lishuatcha Kivino Kolayom. Ki. Now, ki in Hebrew oftentimes means because. This is the reason. The Amru Ki Lishuatcha, any movement. You should speedily send us Mashiach because we are waiting for him. What do you mean, because you're waiting for him? You may be waiting for him, but that's not a reason that Hashem should do it. Im min hadin nizke, if we deserve it, then we deserve it. Below kivu, without the awaiting anyway. And if we don't deserve it, ma yoyil akivui. How will it help for us to have this yearning? Says the Chida, avla piha amur, asi shapir. Based on everything we said, it makes a lot of sense. And this is the meaning of the Yitzemach David, the Chitema, unless you say, how can we lay claim? How can we make demands? How can we plead? Mehera Tatzmiach, that let the salvation come speedily, pleading ostensibly for the redemption through Mashiach. How can we do that by virtue of what? We don't have the merit that is necessary. The answer is, kili shuas hakivino. Kedai, this beschar hakivui, in the reward, in remuneration for our anticipation, for not stopping to yearn and to await. Kedai shatigoleno. It is worthy that we should be redeemed. So, you know, for all of its novelty, the Rebbe's idea, in his own words, isn't so novel after all. I mean, the question is why nobody ever talked about this before. Why wasn't an issue raised? Why didn't people demand of all those around them that we should plead and beg and cajole and do everything we can to give ear to our anticipation, to our yearning for Mashiach to come? This is right in keeping with everything we just learned here. So you say, well, you know, okay, it's agadic, it's a god that's medrash, and it's interpretive, it's a pirush, it's not a halacha, it's not an actual law, you know, ritually a governing principle, like a binding law. I'll accept that it is. It is a halacha. Where do we see that? So there's the Tur, which is the forerunner of the Shulchan Aruch, and it's the system of the Shulchan Aruch. He says in Simen Kuf Peches, "V'tzarech lahazkir." When you mention in Birchat Hamazon, this is the Ur Chaim, the part of Shulchan Aruch that deals with daily life. Shulchan Aruch, law, binding law. In chapter 188, it says that you have to mention Malchut Beis David. You have to. And this is the meaning why we say in our Birchat HaMazon, in our benching, we say Malchut Beit David Mishichecha. Ve'ein lahazkir bo shum malchut acheret. Do not mention any other sovereignty. Only the Malchut Beit David. So you don't even say Avinu Malkeinu Re'inu. We don't even, at that point, don't even speak about God's majesty and sovereignty. We speak about Malchut Beit David. Why is it so important to emphasize this? So, the Bet Yosef, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, in his commentary on the Tur, in this is what, chapter 188, subsection 3, with beginning with the words V'kos of HaRambam. So the Bet Yosef quotes the Rambam in the second chapter of blessings, Halacha Dalad, that it says Hatam Shetzarech La'aschem Malchus Beis David Bracha Zu. The reason that we have to mention the sovereignty of King David in this blessing. Hainu, that is, Mipneshu Inyan HaBracha. That is the idea of this bracha. The bracha is called the bracha of Nechama, of consolation, of comfort. Rachim, Hashem should have mercy on us, He should comfort us. So, and there ain't Nechama Gemura Ella Bachazorat Malchus B'David. You cannot anticipate or yearn or pray for comfort without mentioning Malchus Beis David, because there is no comfort without Malchus Beis David. Without the restoration of the Davidic dynasty and the Davidic sovereignty, there is no true consolation. Yes, we're very happy we're in Israel today. It's wonderful. It's not consolation for the pain and suffering, for the anguish and unimaginable challenges and difficulty of Galut. No, this is not the Nechama we're looking for. We're grateful for what Hashem gives us, but that's not the Nechama that we've been praying for. It has to have Malchus Beis David. That's what the Rambam says. And then the Beit Yosef goes further. And he says, that's what the Rambam says. But he says, in addition to this, B'shibole HaLeket, which is one of the great Rishonim, Reb Tzidkia was a physician and a Torah sage, who wrote a very, very important compilation of what we're going to call halacha and custom and convention. So in the Shibboleth HaLeket, in Siman Kuf Nun Zayin, he writes the reason. He says, I heard from Rav Binyamin that this is because that Tzrichim Anu Lahaskim Malchus Shemayim, we have to mention the sovereignty of heaven, Hashem's sovereignty. We have to mention Malchus Beis David, the Davidic sovereignty. By the way, that's only restored with the coming of Mashiach. And Beit HaMikdash. Why? And here he cites the Medrash Shmuel that tells us, B'yom Shenechalak, at the day when the sovereignties of the Jewish people split, and divided. And the sovereignty of Israel, the kingdom of Israel, became its own independent kingdom with its own sovereign and its own governing body. And then there was the Malchus Beis David, which was in the south, the kingdom of Judea. The day that happened, Kafru B'Shleish Advarim. They, in essence, denied three things. They denied HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They ended up building two golden calves. They denied the Beit HaMikdash. They ended up building their own fake house of worship. And they denied Malchus Beis David and the sovereignty. Ve'eini golen. We will not be redeemed. Ad sheyisvadu ve'yitvu. Until we do tshuva. We confess this mistake. And we demand all of these three. And he says, indeed, in our prayer, we do demand these three. We say, Mishanu Mivtach Latzadikim. That's the blessing that speaks about Hashem providing for the righteous and the pious. And he is a source of comfort and refuge. That's the Malchus Shemayim. Bonei Yerushalayim. This is the sovereignty of David HaMelech. And finally, the next blessing is Matzmiach Keren Yeshua, Zal Malchus Beis David. I went back to the Shibboleth Leket itself, just like to see the original text that's being quoted over here. I mean, the reason I'm quoting it from the Beit Yosef is because that's halacha halacha. That's like, this is the commentary of the Beit Yosef, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, on the Aruch Haim. And he's talking to us about the way we need to recite Birchat HaMazon, the way we need to thank God for the food, which is a biblical mitzvah. In fact, it is the only blessing that is biblical. The only blessing that is biblical is the vi'achalta, you eat, v'savata, you aseidet, and then uvirachta, and then you recite a blessing. And the parameters of this blessing are extremely specific. And the halacha is telling us, you need to say Malchus Beis David. And the Beit Yosef is explaining to us why it has to be so. So Reb Tzidkia says that this Reb Binyamin is actually his brother, Binyamin. And he says that we have to mention these three things because they denied, they separated from Malchus Beis David, and they denied these basic principles. As it says, Ma lanu chelek b'David. Who needs? We have no portion in King David. We don't care about David's dynasty. V'lo nachala b'ven Yishai. We don't care about the inheritance of the son of Yishai. This is Malchus David. Ish la'aholecha Yisrael. Each one to his own tent, his own self-determination, his own freedom. And the Medrash says, don't read it as aholecha elo la'elohecha. Each to your own God. You enjoy your own spirituality. Create God in your own image, they said. That's what happens when you go away from Yerushalayim and David HaMelech and the Beis HaMikdash. And then they said, Ata Re'ei Beischa David, this is the Beis HaMikdash. And they said, we will make our own temple, our own spiritual center. Va'omar Mar. And the master, the teacher, this is going back to the time of the Mishnah, said, "Ein Yisrael nigolin ad sheyachzru v'yitbu shloshtan." We aren't coming home until we demand, we lay claim. For heaven's sake, it's a medrash being cited in the Shibboleth HaLeket in the terminology and syntax and framework of halacha. And it says that you, the Jewish people, will seek out as Hashem Elikeim, that's Malchus Shemayim, as David Malkam, you'll seek out God, Lord your God, that refers to the sovereignty of heaven. You'll seek out your David, the king, this is Malchus Beis David, this is the house of royalty, the sovereignty of David HaMelech. The Noru al Hashem, and it will flow, move in the direction to God, Ve'al Tuvo, this is the Beis HaMikdash. And the Shibboleth HaLeket says, Gam betfila maskirin shloshtan. We mention all three in our davening as well. Mishanu Miftach, Malchus Shemayim. Bein Yerushalayim is Beis HaMikdash. Tzmiach Keren Yeshua, this is Malchus Beis David. So he says, you're going to say to me, so if that's really the origin, then why aren't the blessings in the same order as the verse? And he says, because the prayer has its order. prayer has its order. But according to the Shiboli HaLeket, this is not from the Mishnah. This is ultimately from the scripture itself. This is ultimately from the Pasuk in Hosea, in the third chapter of Hosea. In other words, for anybody to say that this business of asking for Mashiach, demanding Mashiach, thinking that when you make a demand or when you are going to say something, God, that makes a difference, that's not in keeping with Jewish tradition. Anybody who says that is, I don't know how to tell you this, an ignoramus, simply not knowledgeable of a whole bunch of sources, immutable sources. Sources nobody can argue with. That's the otherwise. And then the Rebbe said, and this is like the, kind of to wrap it all together, in addition to all of these very, very clear sources for what the Rebbe was saying, the Rebbe said, more important than anything else, there's a critical need. There's a situation where God, as it were, puts himself in Golos. That's the terminology which is used by the Zohar. And it's also found in the Talmud, in Masechet Megillah, on page 29, side A. It's talked about this. And in Zohar Chelek Gimel and Dav Dalet, it says it very, very clearly. Shchinta begolusa. It is not only a question of you or me or our family or our children, our friends or our communities being in Golos. God in his Torah says that God is in Golos. So you say, well, you know, I can't be bothered. I have places to go and people to see and things to do, and you're sitting and hocking my chinek and telling me stories that I got to worry about Mashiach and demand Mashiach. I'm busy. I have a life to live, and I have to make sure I go to Gan Eden, and I have to make sure that I take care of myself and my progeny and my future. Hello. Shchinta begalusa. The Almighty himself says he's in Golos, and he's waiting for you and me. Well, to kind of give a hoot and to do something about it. So a shchinta is begalusa. And geula sashchina hinges on the geula of Am Yisrael. As we have that famous verse in the Torah, which is found in Parshas Nitzavim, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 3, that it says, V'shov Hashem Elokecha es shivuscha. And Rashi says, what do you mean v'shov? V'shov, he will return. He will return your captivity. It should have said v'heishiv, he will return. Instead it says he returns. And Rashi says that the simple meaning, not midrashic, not agadic, not some kind of distant pirush commentary. This is the straightforward meaning of the verse of Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to us in Deuteronomy 30. That the simple meaning is that kaviyachol ashchina shiruya Yisrael b'tzaras galusam, that the Rabbeinu Shalom, Almighty God, the creator of the universe himself, his presence is with us in Golos. What does that mean? I'm not sure. But that's what it means. Precisely what that means, Shchinta Begalusa, and is beyond our understanding. But it says what it says, and it is what it is. So the Shechina is in Golos. And when will God leave Golos? God will leave Golos when you and I leave Golos. When Am Yisrael leaves Golos, God says he's with us in our difficulty, in our hour of need. Uchishini Golin, Rashi says, and when they will be redeemed, God in his Torah inscribes redemption for himself. God is, as it were, going to return with him. It says that as if God will take us each by the hand, and here Rashi cites the verse that is found in the 27th chapter of the prophecies of Isaiah, Yeshayahu, Hanavi, that in Pasuk Yud Beis it says, Va'atem tuluktu le'echad echad b'nei Yisrael, you will be gathered one at a time. The whole nation, the entirety of the nation of Israel. So the Rebbe says, and then a person comes along and says, well, you know, minig aveseinu b'yadeinu, I'm just doing what my parents did, and then their parents did, and that's good enough for me. And that's why I didn't see them saying, we want Mashiach now. And I didn't see them saying, Admas, and I didn't see them talking about Mashiach incessantly. So you know what? If I didn't see it from them and they were greater than I, What are you bringing me, these elegant ideas and these beautiful creative suppositions and beautiful lessons? It's very nice. It's very nice. It's a nice sermon. It's a nice concept in theory, in thesis. But like on a practical level, I can't be bothered. The Rebbe said, what are you talking about? All the svariv, why they didn't do it or why they may not have done it, it's clear that this can make a difference. We know that Shchinta Begelusa. So what are we waiting for? Like, because somebody else didn't do this yet? Okay, but now we're talking about this and we can do it and we must do it. We're talking about Geulas HaShchina. We're talking about the redemption of the Shchina itself. The Rebbe said it's even possible. A person will say, maybe Bishleime Benigea LeGula, his Gula, maybe he could say he doesn't care. I'm Vater. He says, okay, fine. It's not about you. It's not about what you like. A person wants to harm himself. It's also not appropriate. We're talking about the Shchinta Begelusa. There's no room for that kind of argument. And so to tie it all together, to complete the thrust of this thesis, the Rebbe said, what is missing? What is missing is that we should make this demand and lay this claim, and we should plead, and we should cajole, and we should beg. But here's the thing. It has to be sincere. Upashot, the Rebbe said, that drisha v'tviya zoi, that this demand, that this claim, that this request has to be ba'amitius. It has to be sincere. It has to be honest. And of course, if you don't know what Mashiach is, and you have no concept of what the Beis HaMikdash is, how in heaven are you going to want it? Yeah, that's not an excuse. I don't know what it is, and I don't understand it, and I just need myself to be taken care of. That I understand. So since I don't understand all these things, I'm exempt because I can't be bothered. So educate yourself. So learn about Mashiach. So learn about the Beis HaMikdash. So become literate and become learned. And when you learn about these things, and when you think about these things, no, don't just go through the motions. And the Rebbe actually said this. When he spoke that impassioned and very, very disturbing sicha on Chof Ches Nisan, exactly 11 months before he suffered that terrible stroke, the Rebbe said that, I can't do this. I'm not going to accomplish this. I give it to you. And the Rebbe said, even when people scream Ad Masa, even they say, we want Mashiach to come, they're only saying it Mepnei HaTzivi, because I told them to. No, so my friends, it doesn't work that way. This is not about holy words. This is not about phraseology. This is not about sloganeerism. This is about actually making a demand. This is about actually making a claim. This is actually, you need to be there. You need to be in on this. So you need to buy in, not check out. And if the only way you can buy in, of course, is by learning about Mashiach, and that you should want this for real. And when it's for real, and when we demand the coming of Mashiach the way it should be, then surely Hashem is going to listen to us. I mentioned this so many times in these classes, but I'll mention it again. They say this in the name of the Alter Rebbe, that he once sadly observed that the Mashiach everybody's waiting for, it's never coming. And the Mashiach that's coming, nobody's waiting for him. My friends, this is the problem. We have to not say, I want Mashiach. We want Mashiach. We have to want Mashiach now. And then we have to say it. We have to give ear to the feelings, to the yearning, to the anticipation, to the hope. And if it's a need that you feel, and then you give ear to it, and then you express it, that's meaningful. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for. So the proof is in the pudding, as they say. Let us lay claim. Let us educate ourselves. Let us understand why, and then want Mashiach to come. And when we finally want Him to come, let's make the claim as loudly as we can, as sincerely as we can, as impassionately as we can. And surely, kin kaber leimus, if Am Yisrael together will cry out at Masai, if Am Yisrael together will demand and plead and lay claim to what we believe is rightfully ours, the coming of Mashiach after such a long, difficult, and devastating galus, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will finally have rachmanus, He will finally have mercy on us all, and together with the Almighty Himself, we will leave galus, and we will come home to Eretz Yisrael, led by Mashiach Tzidkenu, may it be b'mheira, will be ameinu speedily, and in our days, amen. And I think this is a message that has to be shared, so please share it. And if you aren't yet subscribed, please subscribe. And please get your friends and neighbors to subscribe so that we can continue to share important Torah messages that can, and Bezrat Hashem, will make a world of difference. Thank you for joining. Besirot Tovot. May we hear and share good news and meet soon in Yerushalayim HaBnuya. Amen.